Hey, this is Derek Wooten. I'm lead pastor of Makers Church here in Cincinnati, Ohio, where our desire is to make disciples and make a difference. Thank you so much for joining us through our podcast. We pray this message speaks life and encouragement into you and what God is doing in your life. Hope you enjoy it.
Amen. So listen, we're going to get into the Word today. Before we get into the Word, we've got to pray because we want to be ready to hear what the Lord is saying and not just receive, but respond. So do this right now. Let's just pray together as we get into the Word. Father, we thank you so much, God, for your Spirit that's here today. God, for the ministry, God, that's already taken, God, gone forth, God, and happened. And God, I just pray over the next little while, God, that you would give us ears to hear what you're saying. God, you would give our hearts, God, understanding, God, to not just hear it, but God, respond to your word, and we could be challenged and changed, God, by what you're inviting us into in this season together. So Lord, I thank you, God, in advance, and we give you praise for the power of your word and the power of your Spirit. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Come on, if you're ready, somebody say amen. Amen. All right, so we're in this series, our third week now, Developed. Somebody say Developed. Developed for Destiny. Developed for Destiny. And we've laid this foundation over the last 2 weeks that God is inviting his people to say yes to spiritual development again. God is inviting his people to say yes to spiritual development again. And we've been learning this, that a life of purpose and destiny requires development. A life of purpose and destiny requires development. And we've also been talking about this because it's so true for all of us to see and understand. Are you ready? That if you, without development, a life that should be filled with destiny becomes a life filled with detours instead. A life that should be filled with destiny without development becomes a life filled with detours instead. How many of you guys just want to go through detour after detour? Have you ever been traveling on the interstate and you have all those detours? Makes you want to lose your sanctification, doesn't it? Yes, it does. But it requires development. It requires development. And I believe that in this season, God is speaking and inviting each of us to development so we can experience the destiny that God has for us. And you say, well, Pastor, why are you so passionate about me growing in my relationship with God? Because it is the mandate of heaven on my life to care about your development. It is the assignment from heaven that God gave me to make sure you understand we need to be growing and developing with our relationship with Jesus. Let me give you Bible. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. I want you to see it. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and the teachers. I'll go ahead and lay it down here. We'll talk about it another time. The fivefold ministry was not just for back then, but it's also for right now. The fivefold ministry was not just for way back when, but it's also for right now. There are apostles and prophets in the earth right now. If somebody told you that they're not, they lied to you and they don't understand what God's doing in the kingdom. There are apostolic leaders in the earth right now. There are prophetic voices in the earth right now. There are evangelists and pastors and teachers. And guess what? We need all five operating in the body of Christ to advance into the fullness of what God has for each of us. But notice what he says. He said, these are gifts that Jesus gave. Why? Because Jesus was the first apostle. Jesus was the first prophet. Jesus was the first evangelist and pastor and teacher. Nobody can do it better than he did. That's why he's the one that gave the gifts. Keep going. Notice what it says. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, which is the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature. Somebody say mature. That we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Keep going. Then we will no longer be immature like children. Can I just tell you, too many people have bought the lie that you can be childish in your faith when Jesus said you need to be childlike with your faith. We will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown away about every by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, which is the head of the body, the church. Notice, he makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy, growing, and full of love. Why, Pastor, do you care so much about our development? Because the Bible says that we have that responsibility. And we must all say yes to growing and maturing in our faith again. Let me go into it even right now. Let me tell you why this is so serious in the body of Christ. For so long, the church was labeled legalistic. We were labeled legalistic because we said, hey, you should read your Bible on a consistent basis. Hey, you should come to Sunday school and learn about the Lord and how it applies to your life. Oh, Pastor, that's legalism. We're not under the law, we're under grace. How many of you guys know that whether it's the law or grace, the principles of God remain the same? And God must be the priority and the preeminent one in our lives. And so what do we find? The church was legalistic. And so instead of keeping listening to the voice of God and growing and developing, we went from legalistic to we started being lax about spiritual development. And all of a sudden we went from legalism to being lax. And guess what happened? The people of God got lazy and we stopped growing in our relationship with Jesus. We stopped growing because we stopped being intentional about growing and developing into everything God has for our lives. And God is saying now, it's time for us to pay attention again. It's time for us to keep developing and growing and saying yes to development. Pastor, does it matter? The destiny God has for your life depends on it. The destiny God has for your life depends on you saying yes to development again. Come on, I need you to find two or three people and tell them, say, I'm ready to be developed. I'm ready to be developed. I'm ready to be developed. And so what do we see as we understand about saying yes to spiritual development? We understand that we are at a place now where we cannot just keep receiving God's promises and that being it. We have to receive and then we have to respond. We have to receive and then we have to respond. And we respond by saying, Lord, if it's for me, I'm gonna go after it with everything I've got. Your kingdom will be the priority. Your will be the priority. Your way will be the priority. Your word will be the priority. Everything I have is yours. That's what we have to understand about saying yes to being developed for the destiny God has for our lives in Jesus' name. If you're with me, somebody say amen. So God does have great destiny, but he takes us on a process that every level of destiny has a level of development. And so I want us to look at the text that we've been reading the last couple weeks because we're gonna get into the meat of it a little bit today. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, we're gonna go and read verses 3 through 13 as we continue to just understand what God is saying in Jesus' name. Here's what the text says. It says, by his divine power, whose power? His power. By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. Are you thankful for the promises of God? Hallelujah. I'm thankful for all of them. Notice he said, we have these great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. In view of all this, make every effort. Make every effort to what? To respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith. Everybody say supplement. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you guys in this season want to be more productive and useful? Then listen, you better say yes to development, because that's how it happens. You'll be more productive and useful in your knowledge of Jesus. But those who fail to develop, you know what it means when you say those who fail? It's those who just said no. Doesn't mean they tried and they stopped. It means they said no. Those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sins. So, dear brothers and sisters, work hard. Somebody say work hard to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen. Do these things and you will never fall away. Listen, why is the church in so much in an apostasy state? Because we have fallen away because we stopped developing. So much of the church has fallen away because they stopped developing. They stopped saying yes to spiritual growth and development. But he said, do these things and you'll never fall away. Keep going. Then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Anybody thankful for the kingdom of God? Man, I'm thankful. But then what he says, therefore, I will always remind you about these things, even though you already know them. Even though you already know them and are standing firm, and it's only right, I should keep on reminding you. You just saw from Ephesians 4, I'm not doing what God's called me to do if I stop reminding you that you've got to say yes to development. You've got to keep growing in your relationship with Jesus. If you're ready, somebody shout, I'm ready to grow. I'm ready to grow. I'm ready to grow again. I'm ready to keep developing in Jesus' name. So last week, we took time and we allowed the Lord to strengthen the faith that God has given us. Anybody thankful that we have passionate and patient and persistent faith? Man, God strengthened faith in this room. But this week, we finally get to talk about how we can supplement the faith that God's given us. And I want us to look at how and what we supplement our faith with, because the text tells us that that what right there matters. What we supplement our faith with matters so much. And so what does Holy Spirit say in 2 Peter? He says, supplement your faith. The word supplement literally means this, to add to. To add to. So he is saying there are things that we need to add to our faith. Why? Because spiritual growth and development does not happen accidentally or automatically. Come on. Spiritual growth does not happen accidentally. You have to be intentional. It doesn't even happen automatically. Spiritual growth happens intentionally. In fact, a lot of times it happens intentionally and incrementally. Why? Because God says, I'm not gonna give you more than you can handle because you'll screw it up. Can I get a witness from somebody? Listen, I'm so thankful God does not give us more than we're ready for. But it happens only because we're intentional. It's not going to, we're not going to back into spiritual growth. It is not accidental. We must be intentional about spiritual growth. Sometimes little by little, other times by leaps and bounds, but regardless of what it is, we've got to keep moving forward in Jesus' name. And so what are these seven things that we see in 2 Peter that we're supposed to add to our faith? I want you to see them. Moral excellence, knowledge, self-control, patience, patient endurance, godliness, brotherly affection, and love. We are supposed to add these things to our faith, and the Bible says add a generous amount. Somebody say generous. We're supposed to add a generous amount. Now, the word generous in this context means large or more plentiful than is usual or necessary. He said, I need you to add generous. Now, I got some stuff to help me today. And so we're going to, let's just call these ingredients or characteristics for a minute. Now, I got them at my house. We don't cook. We go out. Come on, somebody. So that's why they're so full. But let's just say for a minute, when the Bible says we're talking about you need to be generous in what you add to your faith, all of these things represent just what we can do. Let's just say our faith is already right here. The Bible says this clearly. He says you need to be generous with what you add. So let me ask you a question. If you're generous with what you add to your faith, does that mean you can just get a little sprinkle in there like that? Just maybe just a little dash, if you will, just a taste of it, just a little something. No, he said, honey, don't you dare put a little dab. You need to dump that thing in there, and you need to be generous in what you're trying to add to your faith. You need to be generous in adding to your faith. Why? Because it's when we add all of these things together that when our faith is being developed and matured to fulfill the assignment that God has in our lives. So that means, church, that means that a little pinch is not gonna do it. That means that just a little bit of something, a little reduction of something. No, we need the Lord to say, okay, God, we're ready. Dump it all in there. We'll say yes because we wanna develop and mature and grow to be everything God designed us to be. If you believe that, somebody say amen. So we look at these seven characteristics, and the truth is these characteristics, some of them might be easier for us to add than others. Come on now. Some of them might be easier to add than others. Because some people are like, well, Lord, listen, I don't mind adding brotherly affection. Lord, I don't mind dumping that all in there. But God, don't you ask me to control my tongue. I'm only going to sprinkle just a little bit of that because I don't want to do that, Lord. Oh, it's funny, but it's true. We say, no, Lord, no, no, Lord, Lord, I've got no problem. I've got no problem, Lord, with learning about you. I'll dump all that in there. But Lord, if you tell me to live like you, I'm just gonna add a little bit because I don't really wanna live like you, Lord, because that's harder than the other thing is. Listen, church. We have to understand and recognize something. If we are serious about growing in the fullness about what God has for us, we have got to stop choosing what's easy and start doing what is right. We've got to stop choosing what is easy. Yes, it's easy to say, well, Lord, I'll give you a lot of this, but Lord, I'm only gonna give you a little bit of this because that's harder. Listen, life in the kingdom is not about what's easy. It's about what's right. We've got to choose what's right again, church. We've got to say yes. If God says add it to your faith and add it generously, we say, Lord, we'll take all of it because we want to be like you. We'll take all of it if we can be like you. It's about being and doing what is right. Listen, the best that easy will get you is a superficial man-made religion. Come on. The best that easy will get you. And the last time I checked, it says Maker's Church, not Maker's Country Club. So it's not about what's easy. It's about what's right. It's about what's right. And so we have to be committed to saying, Lord, if it's about what's right, we're not interested in doing what's easy and being the statistic. We're interested in doing what's right and being the standard so we can fulfill the destiny you have for my life. You say, well, Pastor, so we have to add generously. Well, Pastor, tell me something. How do I know when I've added enough? How do I know when I've added enough? Are you ready? You know when you've added enough? When your life looks like Jesus. You've added enough when you know because your life looks like Jesus. That means you love like Jesus, you serve like Jesus, you lead like Jesus, you sow like Jesus, you shine like Jesus, you serve like Jesus. You know you've added enough of all of those things when your life looks just like Jesus did on the earth. It's time for us to say yes to development again. It's time for us to stop choosing what's easy and comfortable. But Pastor, you don't understand. It's just easier if I can just put in a little bit because then I feel better. I can sleep better at night. He's not interested in your comfort. If he was interested in your comfort, then why did he die on a cross? He's interested in the call that he's put upon your life. So we've got to say no more sprinkles. No more dash of this and pinch of this. I'm going to pour it all because I want to be everything God wants me to be. If that's you, somebody say amen. So as we finish today, as we can say yes to supplementing our faith, church, I want us to look at the first two characteristics that we need to be supplementing our faith with. I want to look at the first two characteristics that we need to be supplementing our faith with. Number one, moral excellence. Somebody say moral excellence. Man, I got all those spices on my sleeve and I'm coughing a little bit. I don't cook at home. We get takeout. Come on now, I don't do it. Moral excellence. I done made a mess up here. Babe, if you use these, we're in trouble because I dumped a lot of them out. Moral excellence. What is moral excellence? Moral excellence is being virtuous. Moral excellence is being virtuous. What does that mean? That means you live a life that is morally pure and right. You live a life that is morally pure and right. Moral excellence is saying yes to being developed, listen, with holiness and purity as your standards. Moral excellence is saying yes to being developed with holiness and purity as your standards. Now, I'm going to make a statement, and I need you to receive it with love because I'm saying it in love. Holiness and purity have never been a suggestion. They've always been the standard. Holiness and purity have never been a suggestion. They have always been the standard. So when we can look at what the Holy Spirit tells us to add to our faith, moral excellence, I need you to recognize something. Destiny and defilement do not work together. Destiny and defilement do not work together. They work against each other. And there are some people that for whatever reason, they're going to say they love Jesus, but they have refused to develop in moral excellence. But they want to keep stepping into destiny. And every time they keep kind of trying to keep stepping into destiny, that defilement keeps pulling them back because it's not helping you. It's holding you back and it's hurting you. See, that's the difference between the world and the kingdom. If you'll say yes to God's standards, they will never hold you back, but they will help you be everything God's designed you to be. But you've got to say yes to holiness and purity. Somebody say holiness. Now say purity. We have to recognize, listen, those are God's standards. Pastor, I don't like those standards. Tough. Well, I want my opinion to be what those standards are. Sorry, baby, it's not your kingdom. We done got drunk in this country on democracy. The kingdom of God is a theocracy. There is a king and his people, and the Savior is the one who sets the standards. So unless you can die for everybody, honey, you might as well go ahead and accept them and say, this is what God says, and this is how I'm gonna live my life. So that means we have to say yes to holiness and purity. Let me give you the word of God so you understand this is not Pastor Derek's opinion. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but in what? Holiness. Keep going. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit. If this were the only text about holiness, it's enough for me to say yes to holiness. How in the world could we reject God's standards? Because he says, if you reject it, you're not rejecting a man-made religious idea. You're rejecting me. So we must embrace holiness. We must embrace holiness. So see that right there, we understand when we step into the kingdom of God that holiness is God's nature and his nature must become our new nature. Ephesians 4 verses 21 through 24. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God and true righteousness and... So let me ask a question. Right there you see, he says, put these things off. Why do we keep putting up with what God told us to put off? Why do we keep finding ways to justify how we want to live and then ask God to promote us into destiny? We've got to be willing to say, Lord, if it's your plan, it's got to be your way. If it's your purpose that you've given me, then I'm willing to say yes to adding these things to the faith that you have already given me. That means saying yes to holiness and purity. If you believe that, somebody give the Lord praise. We got to say yes to holiness and purity. But I'm going to go further. Hebrews 12:14. Work at living in peace with everyone and work at living a holy life. For those who are not holy will not see the Lord. For those who are not holy will not see the Lord. Listen to me. And our development and understanding of what God is calling us into, we've got to stop acting like the entire Bible does not apply to us. This snippet and clip it theology is going to kill you. You better be careful. If it says it, it's not for everybody except you. It's for everybody. It's for everybody. And so notice what he says. He says, and work at living a holy life, for those who are not holy will not see the Lord. So we need moral excellence with our faith, because that's when, listen, you know that you've said yes to moral excellence when you are more concerned with your future in Christ than you do your flesh in the moment. You know you're adding moral excellence when you're concerned about your future in Christ more than your flesh in the moment. So what does this mean? That means moral excellence must be present in our character and our conduct. Moral excellence must be present in our character and our conduct. Pastor, you shouldn't have to say this to mature believers. I agree. I shouldn't be telling mature believers to have moral correctness and purity and holiness. We should have said yes a long time ago to those things. But here we are. And because the Apostle Peter said, I need to remind you, I need to remind you in case we've forgotten. We've got to have moral purity and holiness. We have got to have moral excellence in our character and our conduct. If you believe it, somebody say amen. And listen to me. Notice I said character and conduct in that order. Why? Because it's got to start on the inside first. It's got to start on the inside first. Look what Jesus said in Matthew 23. He said, woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Look to your neighbor and say, don't be a hippo. Come on. But listen, Fritz at the zoo, though, he's adorable. That's the new baby hippo. He really, we saw him the other day. He's awesome. Okay. Woe to you scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish. You make sure you wear your Sunday best, but your heart's full of darkness. But inside, they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also. Moral excellence is an inside-out work. Holiness and purity starts with the heart, and then it gets to your habits. You hear me? It starts with your heart, and then it gets to your habits. So many times people say, okay, Lord, I want to be like you, so I'm going to change my behavior. Listen, it never starts with behavior modification. It starts with heart transformation. When your heart is transformed, your behavior will change. When your heart is transformed, your behavior will change. Listen, we've got to understand and recognize in this season of development that it's not going to be, well, I'm going to change my conduct first and my character later. I'm going to say, Lord, I need you to transform me from the inside out. From the inside out. And when we say yes to being transformed from the inside out, all of a sudden, we have truly added moral excellence to our faith that's in our character and in our conduct. And let me tell you something. As we understand this, moral excellence is not going to happen in your life because you've been educated and enlightened about it. Moral excellence is going to happen because you've had an encounter with the Lord. Because encounter with God is what changes you. Encounters with the Holy Spirit is what transforms you. So listen, learn about it. That's fantastic. Be enlightened on the things of the Word of God, but it is encounter with God that will change you from the inside out. If you believe that, somebody say amen. So how do we add moral excellence to our lives? Let me show you Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. How do we add a generous amount of moral excellence? Galatians 5, verse 16. So I say, let your opinion guide your lives. So I say, let your feelings guide your lives. So I say, let your schedule guide your lives. Let your children guide your lives. Let your friendships guide your lives. Let your bank account guide your lives. Let your career guide your lives. He said, so I say, let Holy Spirit guide your lives. Holy Spirit, guide your lives. Why? Because if Holy Spirit is not leading, then we'll never walk in the fullness of what God has. He says, let Holy Spirit guide your life. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature desires or craves. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's the word, not just for somebody else, it's for us. We've got to remember that Holy Spirit has to guide our lives. Now notice, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. If you want to add moral excellence to your faith, let the Holy Spirit guide your life. Let the Holy Spirit guide your life. Everything else that's not the Holy Spirit, go ahead and let Jesus crucify it to the cross. That old nature, those old habits, that old conduct, let Jesus get rid of those things so you can say yes to growing and being everything God designed you to be. Moral excellence to your faith. If you believe it, say amen. Number two. After we add moral excellence to our faith, then the Bible says we have to add knowledge. Knowledge. How many of you guys understand that the more you know God and his kingdom, the more you grow in God and his kingdom? The more you know God and his kingdom, the more you grow in God and his kingdom. And listen, if you're growing in knowledge, that should be making you dangerous to the kingdom of darkness. If you're growing in knowledge of God and who he is, it should make you dangerous to the kingdom of darkness, and it should make you advancing the kingdom of light every day that you live your life. Because we have to add knowledge to our faith and our moral excellence. We have to add knowledge. Now, how many of you guys remember what God told his people in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6? Do you remember? He said, my people are destroyed for a lack of what? Knowledge. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. A lack of knowledge of who God is and what he is about will keep you from the destiny that God has for your life. Now, when I say knowledge, am I just talking about this knowledge? Also talking about this knowledge. It's not just head knowledge, it's heart knowledge. Being educated, yes, but encountering God is so important. Listen, we cannot be people in this season that never fulfilled destiny because we failed to grow in knowledge. Because we did not develop with knowledge. We have to grow in our understanding of who God is and what his kingdom is all about. See, when we read Hosea 4:6, when it says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, you understand it didn't start that way, right? Can I tell you the progression? It never starts with destruction. It actually starts with distraction. See, what happens is, if the enemy can get you busy enough, you'll never grow in your knowledge. Say, Pastor, I don't have time for made to make. I don't have time for made to lead. I don't have time to sow into my spiritual development. If you saw my schedule, you would understand. Is that going to work when you stand before the Lord? Well, God, if you saw my schedule, he's going to say, well, who made your schedule? Was it me or was it you? See, it never starts being destroyed. It starts with distraction. And the progression happens like this, is if we stay distracted long enough, then we eventually become deceived. And then if we stay deceived long enough, then we go to destruction. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. There are so many people that have said yes to Jesus, and they're not living a life filled with destiny. They're living a life filled with destruction because it all started with distraction, and they refuse to start focusing on God and his kingdom, and they went from distraction to deception, and the next thing you know, their life is in ruins, all because they stopped saying yes to developing their relationship with the Lord. He said, you've got to add a generous provision of knowledge. It's not just enough to have character and conduct. You got to know the Lord, and you got to know about the kingdom of God. And it can't just be an accessory like a watch that you put on and you take off, but that you say yes to every day that you live. Got to know the kingdom. What did the Apostle Paul say in Philippians 3:10? A man who wrote one third of the New Testament. He said, my desire is only that I would know him. I just want to know him. When's the last time the cry of your heart was, God, I just want to know you more. I just want to encounter you again. I just want to be with you. Listen, I know what 2 Peter says. He says, grow in these things so you can be more productive and useful. But I'm going to tell you something. I'll be vulnerable with you. I produce a lot of things for the kingdom of God. And I consider it an honor to do it. But that's not why I do what I do. I'm not worried about my production more than I am God's presence. I'm thankful that he would use somebody who's imperfect. But more than anything, I just want to know him. I want to be with him. I want to have real relationship with him because I love him. And when no one else saw value, he saw value in me. When no one else called me son, he called me son. He said, I love you. I've seen you at your worst, and I still love you. I've seen you at your worst, and I still call you. I just want to know him. I want to know more of him. I want to be close to him again. I want to go further in that intimacy with him. And I'm going to warn you, this series, I believe, is from the Holy Spirit, and it's what we need to hear and understand. But if you get to a place in your relationship with Jesus that all you're doing is spending time with him because you're worried about your purpose or destiny, that means that your destiny has now become an idol. Your destiny has become an idol. Listen, let him take care of the results, and you pursue him. You make him the priority. God, I want head knowledge. God, I want to know your word. I want to study. I want to grow. But Lord, I've got to have times of encounter with you here. I've got to have times of encounter with you here. Why? Because we want to know the Lord. Remember, Jesus is the groom. We're the bride. You don't have much of a marriage if there's no intimacy. You don't have much of a relationship if there's no closeness. We've got to be a people in this whole thing of development again to say, Lord, I just want to know you more. I want to know you more. I want to know you more. Because that's where the joy is. That's where the goodness of the Lord is. And when you can add knowledge to moral excellence and you add those things to your faith, that's when you find that you will be growing and going further in the plans and the purposes that God has for you.